Kof Teves, Sunday the 11th of January. Rabbi Yisrael Faust, the difference between Shiraim and Noso, how it affects us day to day. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Kaufman, Lichvod Simchas Hanasuim of Avumi Weiss and Yudit Kaufman. Mazel Tov.
We are approaching now the parashas which deal with Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim and the Eser Makas, the 10 plagues that were inflicted upon the Mitzrayim, where various parts of their landscape and the natural resources were attacked by supernatural happenings to show the Yad Hashem, and that resulted and culminated in the Yidden being let out of Mitzrayim, the Yod Romo, and Pari had to admit that the Rabbeinu Shlom is a tzaddik, v'ani v'ami orashoy. We find certain makas which attacked the same part of Mitzrayim again and again. That means that even though the Borod had attacked all the vegetation, all the trees, we find Arbe again, the Rabbeinu Shlom says, after the Borod, that I'm going to bring another maka called Arbe. V'chiso es ein oretz, lo yuchal lirois es oretz, v'ochal. The arbe will literally eat, destroy. Whatever was left over from the borot, the arbe will completely destroy. Again, we find the same words in the Hemshech, when the Rebbeinu was mitzaveh Moshe Rabbeinu to bring it, he said to him as follows. And it shall eat as kol eze v'oretz, Eis kol asher hishir haborod. The arbe attacked what the borod left over. Whatever vegetation had been left over and not been destroyed by the borod, the arbe then came and completely destroyed it. Again, we find in the Hemshach HaPosuk, where the Rabbeinu Shloim said in the Torah, state, Vayechases kol ein oretz, es ein kol oretz, vatechshach oretz, the arbe literally made the land black, dark. And here we find an interesting shinui, an interesting change in the nusach of the pasuk. The pasuk talks about eis kol pri ho'eitz, asher hoisir haborod, that the borod had left over. So if previously we saw the Torah talking about the arbe attacking what the borod hishir haborod, what the borod, in English, I don't know. There may be those who are more proficient in the English language than me, but I don't know if in English there is a difference for hish'ir or hoisir. And soon we're going to try and explain what the difference is and see how it affects us. But if previously we see that the Torah came along and spoke about this kol asher hish'ir haborod, suddenly we find a shinui, a change in the Loshna Posuk, and the Posuk talks about the arbe attacking is kol pri o'et asher hoisir haborod, that the borod had left over. And again, the pasuk carries on. V'loy noisar. The pasuk doesn't say anymore. V'loy nishar. The pasuk says v'loy noisar kol yerek be'etz uve'etz and asode b'chol etz mitzrayim. There's absolutely nothing left over. And this is the difference that I'm going to try and explain now this morning. What's the difference between nishar and noisar? Seemingly, they both come and explain the same happening, the same circumstances, that there was a circumstances where the borod had attacked and left over, and the arbe went and finished what the borod didn't do. Why does the Torah sometimes express itself in a way of saying that the arbe went and decimated what the borod was hishir, what the borod left, and sometimes the Torah says, "Es kol asher hoisir haborod," what the borod was moisir, what the borod had left, also in English, left over. Today, to explain that, we want to be Magdim Avot from the Malbim. Well, the Malbim was known for his speciality in the Hebrew language and very often explained slight differences in words which seemingly meant the same thing, but he explained clearly what the difference is, and each word, the nuances have a different meaning and they result in a completely different understanding of the Posuk. The Malbim addresses the Aaron HaKohen's children, who were, there was a Gzeira and Aaron HaKohen, Mikoyach, his involvement in the Chet HaEgel, and Aaron HaKohen's children were, two of them died, and two of them were left over. Nadav Avihu, as we know, were killed, and they died, Bekreivai HaKodesh, and Elozav HaYisomel, they were left over. And the Rabbi Nishon tells Aaron HaKohen and gives him a parsha, and he talks about Bonov HaNoisorim, his leftover children. Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it down in two places, Rashi brings it down, I think, in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Devarim, that Be'emes, the Gzeira originally on Aaron HaKohen, was for all four of his children to be killed. Uva Aaron is Anaf Hashem. All four of his children were supposed to be killed. That Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalel, and Tfilo Oysa Mechze, Tfilo helped for half, and therefore at the end of the day, only two of his children were killed, and two of his children were left over. And Rashi brings down the Diktuk HaPosuk. It says, Aaron is son of Hashem, Lahashmidoi, to destroy him. Lahashmidoi Zekashi Zeh Kloya. It's when a person has all his offspring killed, it's considered Kloya, and that was the Gzeira that was Avegestelt on Aaron HaKohen, that all his four children were supposed to die. But Moshe Rabbeinu, with his Koyach HaTfila, was Moel, Tudoiv, helped that two of the children should remain, and two of the children should die. Zok the Malbim, from where did Chazal know this? Zok the Malbim, and he quotes a Gemara. The Gemara of Emes, Rashi brings it from the Medrash. Of Emes, it's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says as follows. The Gemara in Yuma says, Ashreichem ha-tzadikim. The tzadikim are merited. Loi dayon is insufficient shehim zoichit, elo shem zakin libneim velibnei bneim at soif kol adoyus. The tzadikim have a koyach that they are able to bring merit, to bring zchusim, not just for themselves, but for their children and grandchildren, at soif kol adoyus. Shekamo bonim hoyo loy la'aron shiruyin l'sorif kenodav aviyu. Aaron had other children who should have been burnt, literally, the way that Nadav Avihu were. Shenema ha-noisorim. Because the Pasuk, when the Pasuk talks about Elozav Yisoma, the Pasuk describes them as the bonav ha-noisorim. Elo she'omad lehem zchus aviyem, the merit of their father was oimed for him, and therefore those two children remain. So we see from the Gemara, that the Gemara is medayik, from the words ha-noisorim, that Be'emes, all four of the children were supposed to die, and just the tefillah of Aaron HaKohen helped, the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu helped, that two of the four children remained. Zog the Malbim as follows. He explains this Gemara. He says, we find in Korbonos two things. We find Shirayim, we find sometimes there's a din, that when we zoyrik the dam, a chelek of the dam is nizrak on the Mizbeach, but the rest of the dam also has Kedusha. We cannot just throw it away. We have to take it and put it in a different place on the Yesoid HaMizbeach. We also find Noiso. A korban has to be eaten, and what's in a particular framework of time, and what's left over is considered Noiso and may no longer be eaten. It has to be burnt and put away. One is termed as Shirayim, and the other is termed as Noiso. Explains the Malbim, what's the difference? Why is one called Shirayim and one called Noiso? Again, the same difference. Nishor and Noiso. By the dam, we term it as Shirayim, and by the Boso, which wasn't eaten by the Koyanim, it is termed as Noiso. So the Malbim explains as follows. He says there's a very basic difference between Shirayim and between Noiso. He says that Noiso describes a situation where really everything should have been eaten. The intent of bringing a korban is not to leave over any part of it. The intent is for it all to be eaten. In fact, we find in the Gemara in Zvachim many, many places that Chazal instituted many different hanhogas kedei to ensure that it all gets eaten. That which is left over is not a lechatchila de gematzah. That which is left over is a bedieva de gematzah. It is not supposed to be that way. But if that happens, then that will be referred to as noisa. It's not something that with the original intention was that this should have been happened. It is something that due to circumstances happened. And it was noisa. And it shouldn't have been left over. But it has been left over. This we term as noisa. Whereas by dam, the original intention never was to be zoyrek all the dam. The original intention was to take a little bit of the dam and put it on the Mizbeach. The dam, therefore, which is left over, cannot be termed as noisa, because there never was an intention to come along and be zoyrik all that dam. That is then called not noisa, that is then called nishor. It has been left over intentionally. Zok the Malbim. Really, it would make sense that the two children of Aaron HaKohen not to be called bon of hanoisorim, they should be called bon of hanishorim. Why does the Torah describe them and call them bon of hanoisorim? From there, Chazal were medactic and medayik that the original intention and the original gzeira was for all four children to be killed in the gzeira which was in Aaron HaKohen. Just the tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Moshe Rabbeinu davened, helped and ensured that the only oisa mechza, that the gzeira was only affected 50% and the other two children were left. That's from the diuk that the Torah calls them bon of hanoisorim, because if the gzeira would have originally only been on two of the four children, they would have been termed and referred to not as bon of hanoisorim, but as bon of hanishorim. In that vein, I will say over an interesting story, and I cannot vouch for how authentic it is, but since it brings out the same nekuda and explains the same thing, I'll say over the story. There was once a great seyid called Rabbi Isaac al-Kharif. Rabbi Isaac al-Kharif was yidua as a very big misnagid, and he bechlal didn't go in the derech of chassidim. In fact, he was misnagid to chassidus. The story goes that Rabbi Isaac al-Kharif was once sitting in a shul, Shandeshul this time, and there was a Rebbe over there, and the Rebbe was fearing tish. Now, you probably all know that there's a minig by chassidim, that the Rebbe eats from his food, fish or soup or whatever it is, and what the chassidim and Rebbe's called shirayim, he then is mechalek, he gives out to all the people. And the Rebbe noticed in the corner, was sitting the Isaac al-Kharif, he wasn't participating in the tish, but he was horving away in the sugya, and the Rebbe said, in Yiddish, shik shirayim for a bicycle. Send a bicycle a shirayim. So a bicycle looks at what the Rebbe sent him. And Kiyadua, when the Rebbe didn't send large portions to everybody, he sent a little bit to each person. So a bicycle sent back the shirayim to the Rebbe and told the Gabba, tell the Rebbe that he doesn't want it. And the Rebbe was slightly insulted. He said to a bicycle, you don't want my shirayim? Why not? So a bicycle said to him as follows. He said, there's two things. Kiyudua. There's shirayim and there's noisa. Why is it that noisa we burn and has no mokum in kedusha? It gets burnt and put away. And shirayim is other. But Chazal said, take the shirayim and put it on yisoid hamizbeach. It has a mokum akover to be put on yisoid hamizbeach. So Rabbi Isaac, I'll explain you why. He says, if the situation is such that really it should have all been eaten and something was by mistake left over a little bit, that we'll call noisa, and that, as we've aforementioned, has absolutely no mokum anymore in the Mizbeach, or to be eaten, and forget, the Torah said it has to be put away and burnt and cannot be eaten. Whereas Shirayim, if they were there, forget, a little bit of the dam was nizrak on the Mizbeach, and the bulk of it was intentionally left over. Oh, that's something else, Dr. Bicycle. That's Shirayim, and that is a mokum, that has to be put on the Mizbeach, that has Kedusha, that doesn't lose its inherent Kedusha that it has. But Rabbi Isaac, well, if you would have come along and just eaten a little bit out of your plate and sent me all the rest, then you would have a right to call that shirayim, and I definitely would have wanted and enjoyed that. Instead, I saw you eat everything, and you gave each little chosid a little bit of the doesn't noisa, this shirayim. It says, your noisa I don't want, your shirayim I would have, but your noisa I don't want. I cannot tell you how authentic this story is, but the nekuda of the story, and the difference between shirayim and noisa is exactly what the Malbim has explained us, the difference between shirayim and noisa. And we can now go back to the psukim and see that with this yesoid we can understand the differences why sometimes it's referred to as shirayim and sometimes it's referred to as noisa. And the Emma says, the posuk at the end of the era already says that amongst the tvur there were certain parts which were left. The Pasuk says, Va'apishto va'aseoiro nukoso ki aseoiro oviv va'apishto gibol. The pishto and the seoiro had been damaged by the borot because they were oviv and gibol. Va'achito va'akusemes loy nuku ki afilois heino. Since they are afilois, therefore they had not been damaged by the borot. Rashi comes along and brings two pshotim from Chazal, what the meaning of the word
afilois
reinoah. The first pshat Rashi comes along and says that since they had developed later, they were not yet fully ripe. So afilois reinoah, there was a difference in tvua. Some of the tvua was soft, and some of the tvua was hard. And Mele Rashi comes along and says that afilois reinoah are muchoris. They came later, and therefore they were adayin rakois. They were soft still. And they were able to be oimed bifnei kosher. They were able to be oimed bifnei the borod, which was kosher. Because as we know, borod would more affect something which is hard than something which is soft. And the tvor, which was soft, was oimed bifnei the borod. And that was left over from the arbe. The second chat, Rashi says, that afilois is a loshen of pele. Pele blois. That be'emez of Rashi, the borod should have destroyed everything. But Hashem made a pele. It was unnatural that the borod wasn't mashpia on this part of the tvua, but it had been intentionally done today that it should be left over, that the arbe should be able to have something with which to destroy. What meaning would it have to bring arbe and there's nothing left? So the Rabbi Shem did a pele, something unnatural, something supernatural, and left over the borod, kedei that the arbe should be there, and when the arbe comes, that the arbe should destroy. From this Rashi we see that there's two concepts. There's one concept of something which the borod naturally doesn't affect, because of the state of the tvua is such that the borod doesn't affect it naturally. And there is one concept which the borod supernaturally didn't affect, because it was pilei plois naso, that it should be left. I think we can safely come along and say that in a case when the borod should have attacked it, and the borod didn't because there was a pele, a nest done to it, that we could call noisor, because it should have been destroyed by the borod, but it wasn't, because the Rebbe made a pele, something unusual, and it was noisor from the borod didn't attack it, because even though it should have, kedei that the arbe should come along and destroy it. Whereas something that the borod naturally shouldn't have attacked, and the borod be'etzem was not supposed to be mashvi on that, I think we can say that that's not noisa, that's called shirayim. The borod was mashir that, because the borod was not supposed to attack that. It was a natural course of events that the borod wouldn't destroy that. Now let's go to the diktuk ha'psukim and we'll see how the posuk is meduktuk. The borod attacked two things. The borod attacked the esev oretz, which is a vegetation, which is tvur, and the borod attacked as well the pri ha'etz, the trees, and all the fruits therein, the borod also attacked. The trees were definitely all hard objects, and the borod should have destroyed all the trees. Any tree that had been left over by the borod, I think is shayach to this drosh of Chazal, where Chazal say that there was a pele, something unnatural done, that the borod didn't attack, b'chdei that the arbe should come along and later destroy it. But amongst the vegetation, we see Rashi brings down, it was very natural for certain parts of the vegetation which was still soft for the borod not to attack and to be left over for the arbe. And so we see the posuk meduk deketer. Wherever the posuk comes along and talks about the pri ha'etz, the posuk says the loshen noisa. And wherever the posuk talks about the esev ha'aretz, just referring to the vegetation, there the pasuk says hanish eres. So here the pasuk begins as such: Ve'ochal es yeseh neplato hanish eres lochem min aborot. And again, ve'ochal es kol ha'etz hatzomeach lochem min asode, implying that the first ve'ochal is not talking about the eitz. The first ve'ochal is talking about something other, something else than the eitz. And therefore, the pasuk talks about yeseh haplato hanish eres lochem. Because when we're not referring to the eitz, when we're not referring to the trees, and we're just referring to the vegetation, then we say that it's possible that the borod left that over because the borod wasn't supposed to naturally attack that, and therefore the pasuk talks about yeseh apleta hanish eretz. Then the pasuk goes right again in pasuk yud beis and says vayoychal es kol eisev oret, completely omitting anything about the pri eitz, just talking about the eisev oret. And the pasuk says, "Es kol asher hishir haborod." When we discuss the ace of oretz, we again talk about what the borod was hishir, not borod noisa. Whereas in the hemshach, in pasuk tesvov, when the pasuk doesn't just discuss the ace of oretz, and the pasuk says, "Vayoychal es kol ace of oretz the ace kol pri oretz," the arbe also attacked together with the ace of oretz the pri oretz. Here the Pasuk discusses the Arba's influence not only on the Esav Oretz, but also on the Priya Eitz. Here the Pasuk already changes and says the Priya Eitz, that's not what the Borod was Mashir. That's not Shirayim of the Borod. That's as Kol Asheh Hoysir HaBorod. Because when we discuss and we refer to the Priya Eitz, we know that the Borod Be'emes should have destroyed it. The Borod didn't, because Hashem made a special nest that should be left over something for the Arba to destroy. With this difference, we can come along and explain another seeming contradiction. In Beshalach, it talks about the Kriyas Yamsuf, all the Mitzrayim died, and the Torah says, Lo Nisha Mehem Ad Echod. There was not one left over. Not one was Nisha. In davening, every day, we say the same thing with a little difference. We say, Vayachasu Mayim Tzoreen, Echod Mehem Loi Noisa. Why in davening do we say Echod Mehem Loi Noisa, when the Torah talks about Loi Nishar Behem Ad Echod? In fact, that Nusach HaTfilah is a Nusach which comes from a capital Tehillim. If you look in Tehillim, in capital Kuf Vov, there's a capital which talks about all the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there it says, it's brought down this Pasuk, Vayachasu Mayim Tzoreen, Echod Mehem Loi Noisa. So David HaMelech in Tehillim expressed himself and said that there was not one Mitzri which was left over. But the question begs question, why would David HaMelech express himself in a different way to what the Torah says? The Torah says, Loi Nishar Behem. So what compelled David HaMelech to say, Echod Mehem Loi Noisa? There's another question which we can ask, and one question answers the other question, Alpi, the difference of the Malbim. In the Torah it says, Loi Nishar Behem Ad Echod. Say Chazal, why Ad Echod? Chazal, Ad Echod? Because it's not entirely correct that there wasn't anyone left. Ad Echod. There was one who was left. Who was the one who was left? Pari was left over. The Rabbi Lashon kept Pari alive, as I state in Posuk, Leman Sape Shmi, that you, Pari, should come along and tell everyone about the Nisim that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he was left alive intentionally, b'day that he should survive the Holocaust that had taken place in Mitzrayim, and he should be able to tell everyone the Nisim Hashem. But David HaMelech in Tehillim doesn't say that. Even though the Torah says, Lo Nisha Behem Ad Echod, being Meramez and implying that there was one which was left, David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Echod Mehem Lo Noisa. There was not even one which was left over. Why would David HaMelech, A, change the Loshon of the Pasuk from Nisha to Noisa? And B, why would he contradict what the Torah says? If the Torah says Ad Echot wasn't left because one was left, why would David HaMelech say Echot Mehem Loi Noisa? There was not a single one which was left. But Alpi, what we said, I think the Terence is very, very poshut. David HaMelech was giving us an important message. He says the people at the time and the people in later generations who see Paroi having survived Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Nisim and the Kriyas Yamsov could think to themselves that the Rabbeinu Shalom was strong, far stronger than all of the Mitzrayim. Paroi, there he stopped. Against Paroi Cholila, he didn't have the koyach to come along and destroy. He wasn't able to come along and change the Sidrei HaTeva to the extent that Paroi should have been killed. If that would have been the case, he wasn't able to change the Sidrei HaTeva to the extent that Paroi should be able to kill. If that would have been the case, then how would we refer to Paroi? Would we refer him as a Noisa, or would we refer him to a Nisha? Then the din would be that Paroi would have been Nisha, because Paroi would have been Lechatchila. Paroi would have been a Noisa, because the Pshat says Avraham would have wanted to kill all of them, and Paroi he wasn't able to, then Paroi would have been turned as a Noisa. Zok the Pasuk, no. Loin echad mehem loin noisa, David HaMelech says. Do not think for a moment that this is what happened, that there was anyone who was noisa, that there was anyone who the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to kill in his Kriyas Yamsuf and wasn't able to, and Paroi was noisa, he squirmed his way out of the gzera of Kriyas Yamsuf. There's not a single one of the Mitzrayim who was a noisa. Paroi's survival of the Holocaust that befell Mitzrayim was not because he was a Noisa, was not because of Koiches Atzmoi that he was able to get out of it. There was not a single one who was Noisa. If there is one who was left, It was Shiraim. It was because the Gzeira Lechatchila wasn't intended to be on Mitzrayim, on Paray, because the Rabbein Shem Lechatchila did not want to kill Paray. In the Nisha, there was a Loi Nisha Behem Ad Echod, because Paray Lechatchila, the Rabbein Shem didn't want to kill, he specifically and intentionally left him over today that he should be able to come along and say the Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we want to discuss if there was anyone, there was a Noisa, who was anyone by virtue of their own Koiches, got out of the Gzeira, there was not a single one, and this is what David HaMelech is telling us, that even the Torah says that there was one which was Nisha, but Noisa, there wasn't a single one. Echad mehem le-Noisa, not a single one of the Mitzrayim can be termed and referred to as a Noisa. Anyone who was left over, it's because the Rabbi Nishalem wanted them to be left over. In this way, and I'd like to just, the time is coming to an end, I'd like to say what I said over once this pshat, somebody asked me a question. We find by Mincha that the Torah, we know they take a part of the mincha, a koimet, and we're makriv on the mizbeach, and the rest of the mincha is eaten by Aaron Obolov, by the koyanim. And the Torah refers to the rest of the mincha as v'han noiseres min ha-mincha. So the person asked me, he said, this contradicts anything you've said? If you are right in the hezbel, the difference between nishar and noisa, since the intent in the koimet should have been that a little bit is nikrav on the mizbeach, surely it would be correct to come along and say that what was left over was not v'ham noiseres min ha-mincha, but v'ham nishor min ha-mincha. And the question stopped me for a time, and eventually I thought to answer him as follows. He says, we find be'emes that the mincha of the Kohen was kolel tokto, was completely nikrav on the mizbeach. It's already a halba tshuva. We see the concept of only a little bit being on the mizbeach and the rest being left over is not absolute. We find the mincha of the Kohen, Tokto, was completely put on the Mizbeach. And that was one of the very big differences between the mincha of a Kohen and the mincha of Klal Yisrael, and a regular Yid. That the mincha of the Kohen was completely put on the Mizbeach and no part was there for his own, for the Kohenim's consumption. Whereas the mincha of a regular Yisrael, that was a little bit put on the Mizbeach and the rest was left over. And I think we can explain it as follows. He says, the Koimetz, the part which is on the Mizbeach, symbolizes the chelik which is given Lashem. And the part which is eaten, that symbolizes the chelik which is lachem, which the person takes for himself. He says, not every single person is able to come along and be misnayig his life the way that a Kohen is misnayig his life. A Kohen is, Yedua, the Divrei Rambam, they weren't oisek bichlal in mundane matters. All they did from morning to night is Avedas Hashem in the Beis HaMikdosh, and Torah, and Tefillah, and Shoiftim, and Limud HaTorah. That's all they did. And that's symbolized by the Minchas HaKoyer, when no part of the Minchas HaKoyer was taken for themselves. In fact, it was Kolil Tokto. It was completely put on the Mizbeah. Because the Chelek, which was apparently Lashem, that was complete, was absolute. Nothing was there for their own consumption. Their lives were completely given over to Avedas Hashem, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Minchas Kohen was Kolel Tokto, was completely destroyed. Lumas that, a regular Yisrael, wasn't able to come along, and he was Choyresh B'Shaz Chisha, and Zareya B'Shaz Riyah, Koytze B'Shaz Tzira, so part of his life was apparently given over to the Rabbeinu Shalom when he was Oisek, in Torah, and in Tefillah, and he went to Shul, and he had his Kriya Sittim LaTorah, but the rest of the day, it would seem, that had no shaychas to that. The rest of the day, he was oisig in his fields, he was oisig in being Zareya, and Choresh and Tzira. But that's a mistake. That chelek, which is given to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and that chelek where there's a kvias in the Bes Medrash, on Torah and Tefillah, is not just defined, and not just mugbal, to that particular hour. Be'emes, that is an Avodas Hashem, which has an influence, and influences his whole way of life. And from that hour, or from that couple of hours, and from that zman that he goes to the smedrish and he davens, and he says, Amen Yeshemei, and he's kaveh yetem la-Torah, is mushpa, his whole oirachayim. And therefore we can say that that time is an influence and sets the perimeters for his hanhoga throughout the whole day. And therefore, the rest of the mincha, which is taken for himself, and symbolizes his esek and his avodah in his own personal need, is not then considered a nishar, because the koimetz isn't just mugbal. His time in avodas Hashem isn't just defined, it isn't just held to that particular hour. It is an influence and mashpia on the rest of the day. And the rest of the day is noisar from that time, is not nishar from that time. The rest of the day has a shaykhes, and that hour or 2 hours or time that he spends in this medrash, davening and learning, is a mashpia and tuzoif and influences all his life. And therefore that time is called noiseres, not nishar. Therefore the mincha of the kohen in the mincha of Yisrael are not so different. Even though the mincha's kohen is kolel tokto, because it's apparent that it's completely on the mizbech and he devotes his life completely to Avodas Hashem, of the mincha of Yisrael, where even only part of it is put on the mizbech, the rest of the mincha, which symbolizes the time that he's oisek in his own need, are also meishach shayach to that time, are influenced by that time. I think I can say it's a privilege for us to be able to speak at the time where we see Yidden who are v'derech chal oisek leparnasosom in their free time come and get together to hear Dibri Torah, and that shows and is a pointer to not just that particular hour, but it's a pointer to the whole day and the whole week of the Rebbeinu Shem should help you and all of us, we should be matzliach to live a life of devotion of Avodas Hashem.
The English translation will be there.